friends, Clayton here. Should be known podcast. Welcome. Yes, it's been a very long time. I posted an old one recently, but other than that, it's been like a couple years. Been busy on another one. Anyway, good to be back, I guess. I'm going to try doing video for a bit. I'm here in Kansas. Yeah, beautiful here in the spring. Okay, so I figured I would kind of, since it's been a while, kind of hit the baseline, catch up with kind of where we are. If this is your first time listening, kind of explain what we're doing here and go from there. So on this podcast, it's called Should Be Known, meant to be kind of general, but the whole time it's basically been about self-deception, which is a principle of human psychology, which I will explain right now. What is self-deception? It basically explains why we do things that hurt us and hurt other people that aren't really in our self-interest, can't be explained by behaviorism or cognitive psychology or any other theory. It is, I believe, a missing principle in psychology. I did not invent it. I learned of it from a man named Terry Warner. He's an episode, one of the first few episodes, or I talk about him at least, but I just want to say straight off that it's not not my original idea, though. My thoughts are a little different than his and anybody I know. Okay, beating around the bush here, right? What is self-deception? Self-deception is what happens when we know what is right and we do otherwise. When we do that, we go against a knowledge that is in us, that comes from God. Doesn't come from ourselves or anybody else. It comes straight from God, and it's with us at all times. And that's how we can't escape it, and why it's necessary to deceive ourselves anytime we go against it. Why would we need to deceive ourselves? For some reason, it appears that we are unable to just kind of do the wrong thing and be okay with it. We have to have some kind of justification for that, or else we are not, not only are we not at peace, I think we can't, my feeling or thought is that, I'll say the theory is that we are just literally unable to, as intelligent beings, do the wrong thing without self-deceiving. What do you mean self-deceiving? I mean somehow telling ourselves that what we did is okay because X, ignoring it, making it justifiable because the person we did it against is deserving of that, whatever we did, because of their stupidity, their idiocy, their evilness. But it's not just against other people, it's against God that we do things, and against ourselves even. Ourselves basically count as another person. We can fail to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves. We can, you know, condemn ourselves otherwise because we tell ourselves that we are deserving of that kind of feeling and that kind of lack of respect, right? Yeah, so that's self-deception. But you can do it against God and in your mind make God to be out to be either non-existent, or maybe he doesn't love you, or Maybe whatever thing you did against is just between you and God. You can tell yourself that that thing is okay. Whatever you need to do, but you need to do it. There's no such thing as I just did it and I'm at peace with myself and the world. Nobody needs to validate me. I'm okay with that. And whenever you see somebody needing validation from other people, I don't know if I can say always or not. I'd have to think about that. But at least if it's a certain kind of validation, you can be sure that they are self-deceiving. Who self-deceives? Bad people and good people. Why? Because we're all faulty. We're all imperfect. And it goes all the way up and down. Little things, big things, everything. And let's see. Yeah, little things you think, you go around, you look at some person, you're like, you know, I don't like that person. Or you are self-deceiving. Why? Because you're doing something wrong. The right thing is to love and respect everybody. Okay, you can not get along with a person, or maybe you don't have to hang around a person. I'm trying to parse my words with whether it's okay to not like but love or and still respect. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that maybe right now, but yeah, the right thing always is to love and respect other people. Do you have to agree with them? You better not if you're going to be on God's side, because He doesn't agree with lots of people. But does God love all people? Yeah, they're His children. And so, yeah, okay. So that's self-deception. Does that kind of make sense? What's another example of self-deception? I take a candy bar from the store. Okay. In order to do that, what do I have to tell myself? Let's back up. Let's pretend my family that I come from taught me that it's okay to steal. It's okay to take candy bars especially from this store, because of how bad and rich and corrupt the owner is, or whatever. Let's say I've been taught from youth that it's okay to steal certain things in certain conditions, certain situations. It does not matter. I will still have to self-deceive. Why? Because the light and truth of God is in us all, reaches us all. My thought is, and I think I'm right, is that that is the light of Christ, is what it's called in Scripture. And the Spirit of Christ is a synonymous term, I guess, and even some other synonymous terms. But it, wow, this is tiring for me to hold my arm up. I hope it's not too shaky, but it probably is. So we have that in us at all times. It doesn't matter what we're taught or not taught, because we know what's right. Now, we may not know the reason behind all that. We may not know the doctrine. In fact, very few people do know a whole lot about the things of God and you know, have correct understanding of the plan and God's dealings with His people and the doctrines of that He's revealed. But it doesn't matter for this, because everybody knows right from wrong at any given time in any situation. In one situation, it may be the right thing may be to do one thing or say one thing. In another situation that looks exactly the same from the outside, the right thing may be to do something totally different. How do we know? You can make rules, you can use wisdom, and that's great, but in the end, the only way you can know is through this light of Christ, Spirit of Christ, that's given to every man that comes into the world, to kind of paraphrase scripture. Okay, so yeah, that's self-deception, and that's basically the whole thing, but it has some pretty interesting and major ramifications slash the things that you deduce from that. I don't know if I'm using the right thinking of a word that I'm not saying. Lots of things follow from that. So what follows? Well, you can learn a lot about maybe more than I know, but I'm sure more than I know, but religion, religious stuff, and psychological stuff. So religion stuff, if you see somebody, like I said before, requiring validation, let's see, yeah, that's not the best example to start with. If you see somebody, well, yeah. So if somebody is, say, criticizing somebody who is legitimately God's prophet or legitimately God's servant at any level in the kingdom of God on earth, that is something that God has commanded us not to do, to criticize his anointed, to speak evil of his anointed. And you can do it. Anybody can do anything. You can murder. You can do whatever. You've got freedom that God has given you. But you can't do that without justifying yourself, right? So if you speak evil of the Lord's anointed, you have to see them in a way that's not true. And you have to, like, if you kind of don't want to do what they say or something like that. Not because they, let's see, tell you everything to do, but when they speak, you're actually kind of bound to hearken. Not necessarily by man, but by God and by, you know, you'll notice it if you do that, the minute you kind of rebel against that or speak evil against them or kind of don't hearken to them, you'll find yourself justifying yourself. You'll make them out to be wrong, you'll make them out to be outdated, uninformed, whatever it may be, bad, maybe fallen. So you can learn about a lot about that. That's just one example in the field of religion, and there's much more. But if you notice yourself doing something, anything, any of those behaviors of self-justification, you're probably fighting against the very thing that you should be listening to. Okay, skipping over to psychology. What are the implications for psychology? I wonder if I should flip this camera around. I'm going to do that. Maybe you'll get a better view. Okay, is that camera view better? Probably. That's my iPhone main camera instead of the front-facing one. So, okay. No, let's have a musical break. A little musical break. OK, Okay, hope you enjoyed that, whatever that was. So skipping over to the field of psychology, how can you, how does self-deception manifest itself? Well, it manifests itself in interpersonal relations quite a bit, and this is, I feel like, kind of the field that Terry Warner really explored very well and had a lot to say about, and yeah. But if you are having any kind of interchange with another person, family or not, if you basically, guys, if you fail to love them and respect them in any way, you're gonna be justifying yourself. Boy, my arm's getting tired. And you'll find yourself justifying your lack of love and respect by making that person out to be dumb and bad and evil. And that's why you get mad. Is that why you get mad? I mean, if somebody says something that hurts your feelings, I got to think about this. This is, maybe I haven't thought before I spoke. If somebody says something to hurt your feelings, okay, meaning they've insulted you, you know, said something to make you, you know, make you out to be a dumb or evil person, or whatever you don't want to be, maybe weak, then you get mad, right? It's natural. Everybody does it, pretty much, unless you're Jesus or one of his followers. Even his followers do, but that's because they're not perfect followers, right? But you get mad. Why do you get mad? Why would you get mad? If somebody says something, where's the connection? That doesn't necessarily make you have to get mad. What it does is, what does it do? It makes you think, I'll have to think about this. I'll have to get back to you on that. Sorry. This is embarrassing, but they, there's no necessary reason why you would have to get mad. You could be, wow, this person's having a bad day. Is there anything I can do for them? Or, you know, have a thought like that. But do you know, you take offense and you know, shoot back and you say something to insult them, or you punch them in the face, or whatever you need to do. And what you're basically doing is telling yourself that they are, that they're a bad and dumb person. And so you're kind of not respecting them, and really you're kind of not respecting yourself, because if you had self-respect, you wouldn't worry about that. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, territory I need to think about further. I feel like I've had it in my mind clearly, but it's not there right now. So okay. Okay, so what about other aspects of psychology? That's kind of interpersonal relations. And there's a lot more to that. But yourself basically counts as another person. We are self-reflective beings, so we are also, just as we're obligated to love and respect other people, we are obligated by God through this light of Christ to love and respect ourselves. If we don't do that, we will find ourselves justifying ourselves, just as we had to when we were, you know, when we're talking to somebody else. So if you adopt the idea, well, the idea is going to come. All kinds of thoughts are going to come to all of us all the time. And those are called temptations. But what the mistake is when we buy those ideas, buy into them and adopt them and kind of take them in, right? Instead of shoving them out the door. So, my arm's tired. Okay, alarm went off, had to stop. It's getting a little dark here. So, yeah, huge truth that we don't always remember, don't always know. I'm not always taught that, frankly. Some people were raised just like traditions of our fathers, whatever. We were raised to have all kinds of beliefs that aren't right about morality. That's one of them, that one person is better than another. Some parents teach their kids that you're better than those kind of people. That's also very wrong and will lead to terrible stuff. Partly because one day you're going to be that person who's not doing the approved way, and so you're less than other people. Anyway, the truth is that we're all equal, and that God loves us all the time. Is he mad at us sometimes? Absolutely. Furious sometimes. When we are not grateful, when we reject him, is he furious when we make mistakes? Not if they're relatively innocent, if they're pretty purposeful. I mean, it's just like any loving parent would be, right? Except a perfect parent. Because even loving parents make a lot of mistakes and aren't perfect with their anger. But anyway. Okay, so all kinds of psychological bad stuff happens when when we think that we're better or worse than other people, and when we just speaking of ourselves, between ourselves and God, when we think that we are no good, that we're not worth anything to God. Well, some people don't believe in God. Right, so when you think you're not worth anything to the universe, I guess, or to everybody else, that's the adversary speaking, and he speaks. He preaches day and night. He's very good at it. He's a successful preacher. He has a big mansion. All right, left arm sore, move to the right. Okay, so, and there are a lot of implications, that's the word I was thinking, implications to these things. Mainstream psychology, what does it think about all this? It doesn't have any idea about the principle of self-deception. From what I can tell, it thinks it doesn't really see how self-deception is possible, because how would you know something and convince yourself of something else? You'd have to know two things at once, and that's not possible. You can only have one belief at a time. And what I'm saying is, no, you absolutely can have two beliefs at a time, because one of them isn't yours. It doesn't come from you. It comes from God. And you cannot escape it. You can go underwater, you can go in a bunker, you can go in space. Sorry, it's always there. Fills the immensity of space. Okay, so mainstream psychology. It doesn't know anything about morality. It basically rejects morality outright. Rejects the idea of God, you know. Are there psychologists who believe in God? Absolutely. But is that mainstream? No. They're not in the mainstream. There's no room, really, as far as I can tell, in mainstream psychology for God and morality and anything like self-deception. So, if this principle of self-deception is a big missing piece of psychology, where does that leave psychology? It leaves it in the dark. In the dark. That's where it leaves it. And psychology has, here's another big principle, is principles. So psychology has multiple principles that explain human behavior, right? Somebody made a big thing, behaviorism. Well, you have stimuli, you have responses. You can kind of get conditioned to those. Well, that explains human behavior. And it does, to a certain extent. What's that extent? Kind of small. Does it pervade life? Yes, it does. But does it explain why people do things that only hurt them and maladaptive behaviors, if you will? No, it doesn't explain those at all. But I wonder if this is head. I have no idea what I'm looking at because I'm just looking at the regular lenses. Ooh, just all the wafted cold air. It's kind of beautiful out here. Getting to be twilight. Okay, so behaviorism, great principle. It is true. How much does it explain of human behavior? Certain small portion. How about cognitive theory? It has it's the principle that your thoughts, if I'm saying this right, it's the principle that your thoughts kind of determine your feelings. Am I saying that right? At least there's a correlation between your thoughts and your feelings. I don't know if it's how tight it makes it, but is that a good enough principle? Yes, there is truth to that. There's been a whole theory based on that, and then somebody combined those last two I was talking about and made cognitive behavioral theory. And that's kind of meant to explain everything. Or at least a lot, I don't know. And then there's some other things like family systems theory and different roles in your family that you kind of act out and explain certain behaviors. What are some others? Oh boy, there are others. There are several others. And I feel like I'm kind of blanking on them right now. But you can look them up. You can Google them. Or AI them. And you'll find, I don't know, a dozen some odd. You can go beyond that, depending how more obscure you go. Theories meant to explain human behavior. Well, how does that work, that there are all these theories? Do they contradict? Which one is right? It's like Joseph Smith going to see which church is right. So he can join it. They all kind of contradict. They all kind of have some truth. The answer is, well, they do all have some truth to them, but none of them explain everything. And the other analogy to go with that maybe is the old story of the guy or the blind men who go check out this elephant. and somebody asked them to describe the elephant. One guy says he feels the legs, and oh, the legs are digging around and like a tree. Another guy said, no, it's elephant, he feels the tail, right? And he says, it's stringy. Another guy feels the trunk. He says, it's rubbery, kind of like a snake. And some guy feels the tusk, and he describes that. And it's like, that's how psychology, the principles of psychology are to me right now. They're not wrong unless you do what all the theorists in psychology do, which is think that they're the end-all be-all and that they explain everything. Because none of them explain the whole thing right. So where does the principle of self-deception fall into... I'm still recording. Where does the principle of self-deception fall into all these other principles? I don't know exactly. But I will say that I believe it's essential. Nobody's really yet developed that beyond maybe what Terry Warner did. There are others who, his colleagues in particular, especially, I guess, who have talked more about that. But has anybody synthesized all the principles of psychology and, like I said, okay, well, this is how they relate to each other, and you need all these to explain stuff, and this is how they go together to explain it? I don't believe so. I know they haven't. And that's, I don't know, it's a little project that I am interested in. Would love to figure out, and I don't know, maybe I won't get there, or maybe I won't get it exactly, but I would love to see one day psychology have a higher understanding. And it's hard to see, you know, it getting accepted by the mainstream for a long time. Because of the religious element. Would it be possible for atheistic kind of view to be like, well, it's this truth from the universe that, you know, cut God out of it and just call it the universe or something? Maybe partly. You'd be cutting it off from the truth. It wouldn't be accurate, but you'd get a certain distance. Okay, well, that's about where I am, I guess, and there are a lot more details and a lot of insights that we've discussed in previous episodes. This episode would be maybe 45 or somewhere around there. So there are many more episodes if you're interested. They are not on video. There are a couple I actually did on video, but they're all audio only. But if you're really interested, you might want to listen to those. So, okay, well, I feel like all I've done this time is really kind of done an update and kind of an overview and all that, but hopefully that's helpful and explains things, what we're doing on the podcast, and explains the principle of self-deception. I'm calling it that because that's kind of what Terry Warner called it. He called it self-betrayal, the actual act of, I don't know, giving into the temptation of going against what you know, and then self-deception is kind of the whole thing of justifying yourself based on that. And the justification is paint the world in a way to yourself that makes you seem right. And also, you're kind of relentless and tireless in your kind of trying to force other people to see it your way. And it's not a peaceful thing. It's not, well, you can believe however you want. It's like, No, I need you to validate me. So whenever you see people kind of act that way, just know that there is self-deception involved. People who preach the gospel out of love and a duty to God, love of God, don't act that way if they're teaching the truth. Okay. Oh, my arm is getting tired. Okay, guys. I hope that was informative. It's now dark. I'll try another one later. Take care.